From Isaiah chapter 55. Oh, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. And you that have no money, come, buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me. And eat what is good, and delight yourselves in rich food. Incline your ear and come to me. Listen so that you may live. I will make with you an everlasting covenant, my steadfast, sure love for David. See, I made him a witness to the peoples, a leader and a commander for the peoples. See, you call nations that you do not know, and nations that do not know you shall run to you because of the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, for he has glorified you. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake their way and the unrighteous their thoughts. Let them return to the Lord that he may have mercy on them. And to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please pray with me. Dear God, may the words of my mouth and the listening ears of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight. O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. You hear about the results of a Pew Research Center study that came out this week? It seems that when adults are asked to think about what the United States will be like in 2050, they see the country declining in stature, a widening gap between the haves and the have-nots, growing political polarization. They think health care will be less affordable, public education will be lower quality, and retiring will be harder. They fear the growing national debt, the likelihood of an attack that's as bad or worse than any we've ever seen, and another 1970s-style energy crisis. Many people also think robots will take their job. The bottom line is that the majority of Americans are incredibly pessimistic and fearful about the future. From that place, maybe we can relate a little to the people who first heard the passage we heard this morning. These people had been in exile in Babylon for generations. The people had been stuck in this place of perceiving themselves as wicked, as unrighteous, as unworthy of God, dragged away from God because of their actions. And for years, they did not see a future and a hope, even when the prophets told them to. Now, the opportunity to go home was at hand, and the people were needing encouragement, an invitation even to take the journey that would not be easy, to travel to a place that had been decimated, to find a new way to follow God when the kings from the past were no longer the means by which God was blessing the nation. Into that spirit of pessimism and fear, God's invitation comes. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Listen carefully to me and eat what is good and delight yourselves in rich food. Why spend your money for that which is not bread and your labor for that which does not satisfy? Seek the Lord. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake their way and the unrighteous their thoughts. Let them return to the Lord that he may have mercy on them. God is inviting them home. Home, where the food they need will be provided. It is a metaphor, for sure. Their way home to Jerusalem to rebuild, to plant. It is not going to be easy. But the food they need, the bread, the drink, will be found in their renewed relationship with God. Their opportunity to see themselves made new, a clean heart created within them. There it is. God's invitation to us, telling us to look deeper for that which satisfies. Telling us a new time has come, a time in which blessings can come to all people, all nations. If we look around and don't see hope, we too need to hear these words of invitation that invite us into the ground on which God stands, the place of spiritual food that can feed us. We are made for relationship with God. When we grasp at material things to fill us up, we find ourselves bereft. We are missing the truth of the journey we are on, the truth of our deep need to put down the wicked things we do and pick up the joy that comes from relationship with God. God's promises tell us the perception of scarcity is not what we need to buy into. Instead, we can stand on God's steadfast love where there is abundance, enough for any of us, enough for all of us. Listen to these words. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. What is the invitation you hear in these words this day? Where have you let your perception of reality move away from where God is trying to invite us to go? Have we accepted something as true that doesn't have to be true? Have we believed that there cannot be enough for all? Have we decided that there is no use in trying to care for God's creation? Told ourselves nothing we do can make a difference? Have we believed that the sin we've been committing has so broken our relationship with God that we do not have a way out? That God doesn't want us back? None of these statements we tell ourselves are true. None of them. Sharing what we have blesses God, blesses us, blesses the people we share with. Caring for creation honors God and fills our souls. Forgiveness? God's grace is bigger than any sin we have committed. When we look at life through the perspective of God's abundance, we see the world differently. It's as if somebody has turned on the lights to possibilities, to opportunities, to stand in the gaps wherever we encounter them. Do you know the story about Howard Thurman? You remember he is the prolific African-American author who wrote 21 books, who was a theologian, a civil rights activist, who helped found one of the first multicultural churches in 1944. When he was a little boy, there was no school for him in his city past the seventh grade. But his parents raised the money to put him on a train and send him somewhere else to get the education they knew he needed. So he sat at the train station and they told him his bag was too old, that he was not allowed to put this on the train without extra money to pay for special handling. So this young boy sat and cried Everything he had was in the bag. He did not know what to do. Someone came to him, a man who was preparing to go to work on the train line in overalls and work boots. And he saw him crying and he said, "What's the matter with you?" And he told him, "I don't have enough money for my bag." And they said, "I can't take it." And the man said, "Well, why do you want to travel?" And he said, "Well, I'm trying to get to school." So the man went with him to the clerk and he said, "How much for this bag? If this boy wants to go to school, I think it's my job to help him today." And then he walked away. Didn't give him his name. Didn't even give him time to say thank you. When the opportunity comes to bless somebody on the journey, this man accepted it. He believed in abundance. Whether he did when he woke up that morning or not, he did when he saw the opportunity right in front of his face. This is the day. We are invited to this party by our Lord God, whose grace and love, whose wisdom and righteousness know no bounds. We are invited to be light bearers for Christ Jesus. We are invited to be the salt of the wisdom God's word places in us, giving us hope for the future and joy for the present, that we might find our way through reality to new life. Friends, we do not have to give up and give in to the problems of this day. We can listen. We can discern God's call to us. We can proclaim a love that transforms and makes each day new in abundant gifts that come to us from the grace of God. In Jesus' name.